Salut tout le monde et bienvenue. On se retrouve pour notre rendez-vous mensuel The Manchester Series. Et aujourd'hui, on reçoit Barry, qu'on aperçoit souvent derrière le comptoir du magasin de disques mancunien incontournable, Piccadilly Records, et qui se produit sous le nom de Apta. Si vous visitez son profil Bandcamp, les notes sous l'onglet « À propos » nous indiquent qu'il s'agit d'un mec, pas mal de machines et quelques cordes. Point barre. Alors plongeons-nous sur ses productions d'un peu plus près. Synthé rétro et modulaire, guitares atmosphériques, on se situe du côté d'un rêve, d'une balade dans l'espace, de paysages cosmiques imaginaires, construits à base de nappes mûres du son, d'effets fuzzy psychédéliques et de sons drony. Un pied dans l'électronica et l'ambiante, l'autre dans un rock cinématique. On pense autant à Pie Corner Audio, qui remixe d'ailleurs l'un de ses titres, qu'au côté ludique et vintage de Plaid. Comme il le dit lui-même, c'est un son net, mais comme s'il était joué sur des bandes de cassettes saturées. Des guitares post-rock avec du delay et des arpèges chaleureux qui viennent comme des vagues. Un son unique qu'il a pu développer au fil de plusieurs albums et EP chez Polytechnic Youth, Claypipe et Woodward Halls. Quelques semaines avant la sortie de son nouvel album The Pool sur l'excellent label Castles in Space, on en profite pour lui poser quelques questions et jouer quelques titres dont Submerge, titre phare et clin d'œil de l'EP de remix du titre Emerge, et on parlera d'ailleurs de la vidéo de ce titre au cours de l'entretien. On jouera aussi North Star, la vache fantôme en français dans le texte, sorti à l'automne 2022 sur l'EP Starlight, et Parasthesia, paru sur son album précédent Echoes. On en voit.
Thanks for joining us and been listening a lot to your recent EP, so I thought it'd be a good chance to try and grab you when you're not in Piccadilly Records, my local record store.
Amazing. Yeah, we have met once or twice in the past few years, haven't we?
Just a bit, indeed.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great timing. I really appreciate you having me on. It's nice to, always nice to chat.
But before we dig into your new music, I wanted to ask, what are your first memories associated with music? Like, did you grow up in an environment that is made of music lovers, or did it come from school or friends, or how did you start being like very interested in music?
It's a really good question. I think it is quite important to have the formation of someone's taste. For me, my mum played piano for church. I played the organ for church. And then my dad listened to music, but he wasn't a great listener. So my first memories really are either mum playing the piano or playing the organ when I was a young, you know, five or six or seven, a youngster. And then my dad giving me a Dire Straits CD, Making Movies. So the first CD that I ever listened to extensively was Making Movies by Dire Straits. And I still listen a lot now to classic rock. You know, I really like Pink Floyd and King Crimson and Jefferson Airplane and stuff like that. So a lot of my formative musical memories come from that sort of sound, is, you know, the psychedelic rock, or I guess pretty popular rock that my parents would listen to, like Journey and Boston and stuff, you know, like big prog rock stuff. So that was it, really. That was the first introduction to music in general, but I guess it's veered into electronic music from there.
Yeah, which matches a bit more like what you do nowadays.
It does, yeah, but I think there is you can hear some of the sort of proggy, especially in the guitar bits, like Pink Floyd. Obviously, I'm no David Gilmour by any means, but I still think that there are elements that are not just pure electronic music. You know, I still think there's bits of prog rock in there and bits of post rock that I later listened to a lot of and wrote a lot about and did a lot of nerdy study on.
Going on to, well, in terms of prog and that big 80s kind of sound, I want to ask you a little bit about another kind of clear influence in your music, which is computer games specifically.
Ah, yeah. Speaking of nerdy. Yeah.
Indeed. And very much the kind of games that I grew up with. I think we're a similar kind of age. And I remember a lot of those computer games had music that was, it was very, very electronic due to the 8-bit kind of nature. Mm-hmm. But they sounded like 80s pop. They sounded like very bright and energetic.
100%.
And very, very poppy and melodic. And what kind of computers did you grow with specifically?
Wow.
What games influenced you?
Yeah, there's a lot to answer there. I played basically everything from when I was about maybe 12 or 13. My dad bought us a NES and then a SNES. And then before that, I'm pretty sure we had an Atari, as you well know, Lee, but the people who listen may not know. I did a release quite a while ago called Rainbow Island, which was based on the Japanese game Rainbow Island. And that specifically for me is a big memory because my dad only ever used to play about four or five computer games, but one of them was Rainbow Island. And I remember him furiously trying to get past this final boss on Rainbow Island. So for me, game, especially in that era of games, more so I would say than other things that came after that, probably had a really big influence. And like you say, with the musical element, it's like an orchestral cinematic score, but shrunk down to a rapid fire 8-bit cascade of notes and arpeggios and stuff. And that's what I like. I like that it is seemingly chaotic and has all this frenetic energy going on, but at the core of it is a pretty simple melodic bass line and melodic backdrop. You know, I like that. I like the juxtaposition of the frenetic instruments but with a simple core behind it. I think that games, especially in that era, had a really uncanny ability to be able to display a massive range of emotion with a really limited technical capability, which I like.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think those constraints for every bedroom producer, they're part and parcel of
they are
what we can fit into our studios, essentially. As
absolutely. Well, it's that, and I think it is helpful to be able to trim things. Like, I like stuff, obviously, but I think it's helpful to be able to move away from all of this stuff and just to, you know, have this one thing that you play with that you learn how works properly. And obviously the composers back then would have very, very limited ways of achieving what they needed to do, but did it perfectly. Thank you.
How does it work for you? Do you tend to have some ideas and music like coming up more like on your own? Or do you like to bounce ideas? How does it work for you?
I don't like to bounce ideas off other people, only because I have a number of friends that are musically minded and are really good for sending a track to and saying, you know, this is what I've done. How do you feel about it? People like, you know, Polypores and Phil, the people who've done remixes for the new EP. Warrington Runcorn Gordon is a good friend of mine, and we are in a little Discord group. So I bounce things off people when I finish them. But before that, I just do it myself. The way that I like to work generally is to get the modular and just plug some stuff in and make it do some stuff. And then if I like the riff, I'll write on top of that mostly. I like the idea of having a melodic backdrop and accentuating on top of that rather than coming with a fully formed song and then porting it to all these different instruments. I just like playing. You know, I like to play with the instruments, and I just like playing about, really.
And on stage, do you mainly play on your own, or do you play with other musicians to bring that a bit more to life?
Yeah, I'm a really bad performer. Up until the last gig that I played in November, they've not gone very well because I had too much stuff. I'm not very interesting to watch, I don't think, but the last gig I played went really well. It was just me sitting on the floor. Everyone else was standing up or at tables. I was sitting on the floor with things around me. All I could see was people's knees. I don't know, but people want me to perform, and I do enjoy it. I enjoy people appreciating it, but I'm just really bad at it. I just get really nervous, and I want to sit down. I don't want to look at anyone. The closer that I can get something being how it is in my studio, like, you know, quiet and no one looking at me, the better. But I do love it. I love performing. I love the opportunity to perform. I just think that I've got to get a little bit more. But yes, I do it all on my own, so much so that I won't even look at anyone in the face.
I just want to go back slightly. We've just mentioned about a visual kind of identity, and I'm absolutely in love with the video that you put out recently for the new
EP.
Again, it reminds me of those kind of 8-bit platform games that we both grew up with. And can you tell me a little bit about that, how that video came
about
and who animated it? And
yeah, absolutely. So the guy who did the artwork, when I first came to Colin, who runs Castles in Space, with the LP that is forthcoming, he wanted to do an EP as well with remixes of Emerge. It's the second to last track on the album, and it is the first track that I've ever recorded where I've sung on it. For me, it was just like, I'll put this, you know, near the end, the same place as Africa by Toto, second to last, just so you know. But he wanted to do that as a single. So he took the artwork and sent it to Johnny and Zeke. Zeke Clough was the guy who did the artwork for the LP and for the EP. And he's done covers for Shackleton and is an artist in general. Basically, I went to him with a guy's art called Jesse Jacobs, who is a graphic novel designer, I guess you could say, and say, I kind of want this, but, you know, do your thing. He did his thing. I told him what the album was about and what the sort of vibe of it was, and he just did it. He did the cover for the LP, did the cover for the EP, and then learned how to do... His drawing style was hand-drawn, and he learned how to do pixel art. So the isometric, I guess it is isometric, isn't it? The view that he's learned, the view that he's portrayed on the cover was learned specifically for the project. He sent me all the in-progress shots of him learning how to do it and how he did it. It was amazing, really, really incredible artist. And then he went to a guy called Johnny who does the animation. And I believe that Zeke did the sprites and the figures that were 2D, so the video moves through. And then when it goes to the indoors video, you're following the thing around. I think Johnny did the animation, which is maybe Blender. I did ask Zeke about this, but he did all that. It is incredible, but I had basically no input into it. I think all for the better, to be honest. Just give it to someone and let them do it. And he's amazing. And I think even down to the subject matter, for him to have put that sort of cyclical inference in there is brilliant. I love it. Very, very clever. Nothing I could do.
So we've been talking, mentioning several times about this album. Do we have a rough release date? When can we expect
I'm thinking, it will probably be sort of second quarter, I'd say, probably April, May, thereabouts. It might be a little bit earlier, it might be a little bit later, depending on pressing and lots of other stuff. I'm very excited for it. I'm really happy with the EP. I'm really happy for everyone, the remix, the stuff. But obviously the album is the thing that I crafted as a whole, you know. And for me, it's a big thing for me to be working with Castles in Space, just because it's a label that I've liked for a long time. I've always wanted to... There were three labels when I started making music that I wanted to work with, being Claypipe, Polytechnic Youth, and Castles in Space. That was 80% of my record collection, and this is the hat trick of all three of them, and they've all been brilliant. Pollen has been great to work with.
You said that you were seeing this album as a whole, so is there a main idea or concept, or is it more like a collection of tracks?
There is a concept. There is. It is very psychedelic. it's about a psychedelic experience, I guess. It is written about a psychedelic experience, and it sort of follows the idea of the psychedelic experience. The track titles are concurrent, so they run through as the experience would be. Yes, it is very much based around that, but it's not an ode to or a, you know, it is more of a, I want to say a biography of the experience, but that's not quite the right word. You know, it's like running through the experience via the music. I'm not going to say that listening to the album will get you into a DMT-like state, but it will certainly, it would follow, you know. It was just something that interests me. So it was what came to me when I heard the tracks and put them together. And yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Well, that's your prog influences shining through right there.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. You should see my tie-dye t-shirt. No, I'm kidding.
Fabulous. So we'll start wrapping it up. What's no next problem. Then? We get the album out. Are you looking to do a few gigs around that or any further remixes or collaborations?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I've got a really exciting gig coming up in April. That is me, Warrington Runcorn, Polly Paws, Beardlines, Cartographer, Low Five, and Soul Crooms all in Birmingham. That is going to be a really good time. That's the only thing that's in the diary, to be honest. As for writing, I write when I can and record stuff, mate. I don't know whether things are going to... Sometimes things come together really quickly and sometimes I can pull them, you know, I've got a few tracks, and then other times I'll try and do it for months and end up with nothing. So in theory, I'll play these gigs, the album will come out, and I will be overrun with productivity. That's the
sounds like a plan.
That's the best
approach. Yeah, that's the plan.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, and we can't wait to hear this this little mix that you've put together for us.
Yeah, I'm really excited for you to hear it.
Merci encore à Barry pour cette interview. Et il nous a préparé un mix d'1 heure pour aller un peu plus loin et découvrir les artistes qu'il écoute et ses influences. Si on peut décrire cette sélection d'expérimental, c'est la douceur de l'exploration qui ressort plus que sa radicalité. C'est parti, et nous on se retrouve le mois prochain.
Thank you.
Thank you.